and welcome to the Badger Politic. I'm Scott Stearns.
Hi, it's been 100 days or so.
It has been. Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Good. I've been holed up at home. Weather's getting nice, so.
Yes.
A lot of time in the yard.
Absolutely. Well, that's pretty much, that's summer this year is spending time in the yard largely.
Yeah.
So listeners, yes, it's been a while. It's been since March, since this situation really started to unfold. And Paul and I have chatted here and there, and we've had some start-stop conversations around continuing to do this podcast. And really, our focus has been, as it has for many of you, on taking care of our families and taking care of the day-to-day. Work situations have evolved, and we all have things to take care of. So we wanted to try and do at least a little check-in here and see what we could throw together, because there's obviously been a number of developments since the last time we chatted. So we can go into a few of those. Obviously, the coronavirus situation has continued to get worse.
So there's been a lot going on since we last had our podcast. We attempted to do one that failed. Now we're attempting to do another one. We have a lawless society with no end in sight, and leadership pretending that they support law and order, but flouting it all at the same time.
There's so much that's happened in the last 3 months. It's like impossible to cover it all. We had an election in Wisconsin a few months ago, and Jill Karofsky won the seat on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, which, that went well, actually.
It was actually very good, but it was after a whole lot of controversy, after Tony Evers tried to delay the election, given that the pandemic was really ramping up here in Wisconsin. That got struck down, and they had, do you remember what the turnout was here in Wisconsin?
A little over a million and a half, actually. Yeah, very high for a Supreme Court race.
Well, especially considering there was only like 5 polling places in the entire city of Milwaukee.
Yeah, actually, it was pretty low in Milwaukee. It was a lot lower than it would have been.
People still came out and voted, and they waited for hours in long lines because they didn't have their local polling place like they normally would. And despite all those obstacles, Jill Karofsky still came out on top, and she will take her seat next month.
So fixing the courts is really kind of a big thing that we might see start to happen if if Biden were to win. Right now, the polls look great, but they looked really good 4 years ago. We do know Biden's support is soft, and we know that Trump seems to be going on, I think, a bit of a chaos theory to win, to kind of project strength through chaos. Most of the states have now reopened, and now we're having the worst numbers we've ever had in the United States, while the rest of the world has actually moved on. The U.S. is at risk of becoming an island, a nation.
Very much so. I mean, when you look at the trend lines, when you compare like where it's been like since April with the EU versus what the US has done, we were on a similar track for a while, and then we've separated. And the EU has it under control today, relative to where the US is, which is continual increase of cases. And it is now spreading into rural America. And that obviously is going to have an impact on Mr. Trump's approval ratings, because people that have been supporters are going to see themselves impacted by this thing.
They are. But his solution is, of course, to repeal Obamacare.
To repeal Obamacare and to ignore or to call for less testing and basically ignore the whole thing and pretend it's all fake news. You have this perfect storm right now where you have the virus continuing to expand its footprint, and then you have the economy, which is going to only get worse because we've propped up a lot of people to this point with expanded unemployment benefits, which are due to expire this summer. And what's going to happen when people can no longer pay their rent, when they're not getting unemployment and they're not getting their jobs back? And then you have all the fallout with the George Floyd incident in Minnesota that has created an uproar about policing in this country and how it treats African Americans and people of color. There have been protests for weeks now, and the outrage is, it's out there. It's not going away. And a lot of the country that maybe didn't have insight into how bad this situation has been have now, their eyes have been opened, and that's a good thing. But it's definitely, it's added to this political shitstorm that is going on in this country.
What is great is that I've always thought that police were strangely immune to budget cuts, where teachers, you know, always had to bear the brunt of bad economy. Teachers, other public servants do. But somehow or another, we can just keep hiring police and bringing in more military-grade equipment. And it's kind of like runaway budgets for security. I've always wondered, you know, if there was ever any point where that would be politically feasible to have some accountability. And I think we're starting to see that.
Yes.
I will say, though, that the Marquette poll found support for defunding the police to be next to nothing. It's worth noting that this isn't exactly an open check case.
I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but what I would say with regards to that is I think the slogan defund the police may be problematic, and from a marketing perspective, because people hear that don't know the details behind it, they could be alarmed by what the impact of that is. They may not understand that it doesn't mean like abolish the police. It means that maybe the scope of what police are responsible for is too big, and we need to take some of these things, carve them out, and give other resources the money so that they can properly address things like mental health and other, you know, domestic violence and some of these other concerns that are contributing to the challenges that are happening in high crime areas.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good to me. I just think that at some point, the marketing things does matter, or else it'll create a backlash. And I do think that there's a lot of hopefulness and kind of anticipation of victory on the part of folks on the left. And I would just remind people that whether it was Hillary or Bernie, whatever, 4 years ago, there's been a lot of other times where there's a lot of hope. And I think that what we've seen continuously is backlashes do happen. And then a lot of things that people thought were going to happen don't happen in terms of moving society forward. And in many cases, things that can move things backwards.
For sure.
So I think that that's what's at risk.
Definitely. You know, I mean, we don't know what the next 4 months are going to look like. What we do know is current state, and the trending has been all in favor of Mr. Biden. And in the Marquette poll in particular, he's up 8 points, 49-41 over Trump. He is leading in other battlegrounds, Michigan, Pennsylvania. He's in some polls, he's at least neck and neck in places like Florida, even in Texas. Georgia looks like it's competitive. I mean, and that's not to say he's going to win these places, but if he's competing, it means that the Republicans have to spend money there and they have to spend time there to make sure that they protect what they have thought of as safe places for them.
So and Trump knows he's not going to win.
Yeah.
Is he going to try to stop the election?
He can try. However, what people need to know is that if there is no election, if there is no decision by the Electoral College on who the next president is come January 20th next year, the Constitution says that the next in line for the presidency is the Speaker of the House. But yeah, all the polling is looking very promising at this point.
Sure.
So I mean,
that scares me.
But what that is that after 2016, many of us have doubted the guessing game. We don't necessarily want to let ourselves believe that Biden could potentially have a landslide, let's say.
Yeah.
You know, but I think if you look at where pretty much all the polls are today, it looks like it could be a pretty decisive victory. But things are changing so rapidly. I mean, you look at how much things changed in the last 3 months since we last spoke, and it's just, we don't know what fall is going to look like. We don't know what else is going to blow up. We don't know, you know, what other fake crisis they could create, how they're going to use the media in the months leading up to the election. There's a lot of road left to be driven here. It's been good talking to you, Paul. And we're going to continue to do this as often as possible, given the current situation. So stay tuned and stay glued to what's going on.
Yes, somewhere.
Oh, and we didn't even touch on the DNC. So, I mean, the DNC is obviously being scaled back here in Milwaukee. They're going to move it from the Fiserv to the convention center, state delegations are being asked not to attend. So I don't think that's surprising.
No,
given that large gatherings, it is a shame.
But it's the right decision.
It is the right thing to do, and it's the opposite approach that the Republicans are at least currently taking. Like, I actually don't think the RNC is going to be that big either. I just think that they're being boastful about that they're invincible to this thing for whatever reason. So we'll see. We'll see what happens in the next couple months. All right, listeners. Well, yes.
Take care.
We'll talk to you soon. Forward.